Have a time. Ring the bell. School's back in. Can't touch this.
I've proven to you that God exists using the transcendental argument.
You did prove to me God exists, but you're just terrible.
I demonstrated to you God exists. Are you still an atheist?
Yes, I am.
So I've proven something to you, and you reject the proof. Is that logical?
I reject all religion.
Except your own, atheism.
You can't touch this.
There is no possible way you've done your homework in this.
You can't touch this.
This is one of the problems we Christians have with you atheists. You believe the most remarkable things on faith.
Break it down.
Life comes from non-life. What a remarkable thing to believe. Intelligence comes from non-intelligence. What a remarkable leap of faith. Morality comes from non-morality. And here you're making fun of others for having faith.
Stop. Have a time. Yo, I told you, you can't touch this.
Break the neighbors. Get the word out.
All right, everybody. How you doing? Faith and, oops, nope, it's Carm Radio. Carm Radio. Getting a new name out there. It's kind of hard. I got to switch after all these years. Hey, did you know that on January 2nd, whatever date that's going to fall on, 6 years ago, that's when I started this ministry on the radio. 6 years. Actually, not many people know this, but I did 2 years of radio before this. Actually, what happened back in mid-90s, a guy called me up, and get this, on April 1st, which is April Fool's Day. And this guy calls me up. He says, look, I got this one guy supposed to call up about Mormonism, and for the past 4 or 5 weeks, he hasn't, you know, he's supposed to co-host this guy's show. The co-host has not called up. He said, would you fill in? And I said, yeah, right. Who put you up to this? And it took him 20 minutes to convince me. And so it was that night. He wanted me to do something. I said, sure. And I ended up calling up. And being a co-host on this guy's radio show when the other guy wouldn't call up or failed to. And it kind of stuck, and I did it for 2 years. Once a week, call up and do stuff like that. And I did that down in San Diego, and then got up here and tried it again. So actually, I guess you could say I've got about 8 years of radio experience, if you want to combine it. But this is 5 days a week, and that was one day a week. So I don't know which one counts. But which way? Hey, this is Carm Radio. And okay, I got that note there, Gnarly. We'll see, because, well, we'll see on that. For those in the chat room, how y'all doing out there? And if you want to call, folks, the number is 877-207-2276. And you can get on Skype via carm.org, carm.org. I will not be in the studio Friday or Monday. Monday's a holiday here. I'm just taking Friday off because it's the weekend of Christmas, and I'm preaching on Sunday, so I'm going to have to prep Friday and Saturday and preach on Sunday and have one day off and then come back in and start working on Tuesdays. So I work hard. I don't have much of a vacation. I'm whining, huh? That's like a whine. Actually, I love what I do. I'm glad I get to do it, and I get to work hard. Oh, boy, do I. Hey. Let's get to Bob from Kingston. Bob, no, Bob Kingston or Bob from. Hey, Bobby, there.
I wanted to talk about something that you had done a podcast, or I was listening to your podcast, and he mentioned about how atheists get power, and then they start getting more obnoxious. And
yeah.
Interestingly, I had done a weblog where I listed, this is what atheists do when they're in power, and it was from persecution.com and some of those places. And I thought you'd find it interesting that this one fellow, he was hammering at me for being a creationist, and I kept saying, what does it matter to you what I believe?
Mm-hmm.
And he kept dodging it. Finally, he said, I care what people believe because belief leads people to stupidity that hurts other people in the name of invisible gods.
Wow.
Oh, we got the thought police. Okay.
Right.
And there was another guy who said, I think all Christians should be rounded up and sent to Guantanamo Bay.
Yeah, well, that's what Stalin said. That's what Mao Zedong said, basically, different words. But yeah, yeah. And so these atheists, what they're advocating is genocide. They're actually advocating genocide. In the name of atheism, more people have been killed than all of religions put together, all of religious wars in history. People are going to say, no, it never happened in the name of atheism. Well, actually, yes, it did. I'm actually collecting some documentation. People are sending me stuff. I'm going to put this out in the podcast, that I am actually looking for specific texts, documents, from constitutions and or atheistic national leaders who have done what they've done based on atheism and or evolutionary principles. Now, let me kind of take a little tangent here. I've got one from, I forgot which country it was, where someone was showing me in an email the quote, and I got to get to it again, I got so much to do, where this one guy was persecuting and killing Christians, and he was doing it because they were Christians and because he was an atheist, and that their government was atheistic. Now, in the 33rd Annual Atheist Convention I went to, I think it was in Seattle. Let me get my dates mixed up a little bit. But at any rate, Dennis Prager was there. And Dennis Prager, I found out, I don't even know who he is, but he's a national radio guy, and he's very intelligent, political commentator. He speaks fluent Russian, apparently. And during this debate, he stunned me. Because he was debating at this convention, they asked him to come in and debate Richard Dawkins. And so he stunned me when he read a certain quote from the Russian Constitution that was atheistic. And it the quote, I mean, it was like my jaw dropped. I was like, I couldn't believe it. It was in the Stalinist Constitution or whatever it was for the communist men. I can't remember exactly. What article? He says, I was raised in this language. I know the language. I'm translating it for you. And he did it. And it was the evidence that the Russian government was doing what it was doing based on its atheistic principles. It was persecuting believers of all sorts. And I got to find that quote because I'm gathering information, possibly writing a book on atheism. And I need that quote. But at any rate, I'm sorry, I got me a tangent there. I've been thinking about this recently. Go ahead.
There's a video out. I should send you a link to it. It doesn't give where the source came from or the source of it, but it says Lenin said, our program necessarily includes the dissemination of atheism. Yep. And things like that. It doesn't give chapter and verse, so to speak. There's nothing more abominable than religion.
Yep, I want those. And I actually have contact with Russians here in the Boise area who can translate. They're Russian natives. And so I can have this all validated and translated. I want it.
Do you have time for a tangent?
Sure.
Okay. I was listening to something. I was homesick today and listened to something from a creationist site that this guy was studying about extraterrestrials.
Okay.
And I figure you'd perk up at that. But what are UFOs? And, well, I always believed that they were people from other planets and that sort of thing. But the more I examine it, the more I realize I don't think so. And I always wrote off people saying it's demonic activity. But they came up with this stuff pointing out that people who have had alien abductions will have the same kind of psychological problems as people who have had demonic possession, and there are many similarities in that. And the Bible-believing Christians, a couple of these guys actually went to Bible studies and stuff, and part of their research, who gets abducted, who doesn't, and they're MUFON people,
mm-hmm.
Mutual UFO Network, and they studied the Christians and realized there are two kinds, those that walk the walk and those that talk the talk.
Right.
The ones that actually walk the walk don't have problems with extraterrestrial abductions. And when you get an alien speaking to you, channeling or something, mm-hmm. well, we're from the Pleiades or Tau Ceti or whatever, well, make up your mind, but
right.
we are more highly evolved.
Mm-hmm.
And we're helping you to evolve into a higher spiritual consciousness. So, once again, I see evolution as not only just a bad theory of human origins, but it is pervasive in so much spiritual-related thing and even demonic activity.
Yeah. Now, let me just kind of throw in some stuff here. I've done studies in mathematics on the permutations and of DNA molecule, basically life forming by chance. Okay. And the odds of life forming by chance are zero anywhere in the universe. Now, people who don't know what I'm saying here are going to take, you know, raise their eyebrows. What are you talking about? Well, there's this theoretical limit called the universal probability bound. And what that is you take the number of seconds in the universe, and I'm going to be real generous and say 10 to the 18th seconds. That's a huge number. And the number of particles is 10 to the 80th. That's also a very generous number. And the fastest rate that particles can change their state, can go from one level of a shell in an electron or move from one place to another place, the maximum this can happen is 10 to the 40th times a second. Well, that means that if we have how many seconds times how many things can happen per second times how many particles there are that can do this, we have a mathematical limit of possible events in the entire universe of, at the most, of 18 billion year old universe, of all the thousands and thousands and millions of galaxies. And the theoretical number is 10 to the 138th power, which means it's a 1 with 138 zeros. Now, people don't have a clue how big this is. So one of the ways I illustrate this is I say, take a piece of paper that's 1/500th of an inch thick, which means that 500 sheets of this paper, 500 sheets stacked together is exactly 1 inch tall. So each paper is 1/500th of an inch. So you take this one piece of paper and you tear it in half. You put it on itself, double it. Now you have two sheets laying on top of each other, 2/500ths. You tear those in half, you have 4/500ths. You tear those in half, you have 8. Now just do this 50 times. Now, do you know how tall the stack would be? If just 50 times. Do you have any idea?
Oh, no.
Take a guess.
500.
500
no,
what?
No, you use that number. 1,000?
1,000 what? Inches? Miles? What?
Oh. Miles.
Okay. 35,500,000 miles. All right. And what all this is 2 to the 50th power. 2 to the 50th times, and then divided by how many inches and things like that, and you just work it out. That's all it is. That's just 2 to the 50th. Now, when you do 10 to the 50th, it's immensely huger than that. And then each time you do one, so people don't understand. So 10 to the second is 100. So that's 10 times 10 is 100. Well, then you multiply that 100 times 10, and you get 1,000. But you multiply that one times 10, you get 10,000. So where before it went from 10 to 100, that was only an increase of 90. Then from 10 or 100 to 1,000 is 900. And then the next one is 9,000. So it increases 90, 900, 9,000, 90,000. People don't realize how big this number is, 10 to the 138th power. Well, the odds, and I've heard different numbers, but the odds of the necessary amino acids coming together by just chance, something like 10 to the 20,000th power to form basic life. That is... It's ridiculous. It is zero. It's just absolutely ridiculous. And when I think about this and I know this, I say there's no way in the entire universe that life could have formed anywhere in the universe by any sense of the imagination of any randomness at all. It's impossible. It just can't happen. So when I think about this, I think, what are UFOs? Well, they're not aliens from other planets. The only way life could be out there is if God created it. That's the only way. That's it. So if it's not biologically evolved life, because it can't form by random chance, people will beg the question and say, well, it happened here. No, it didn't happen here by random chance. We can get into the issue of randomness and information structures and a DNA molecule and how the nucleotide bond pairs form inside the phosphate sugar helix structure in the back. There's no physical reason for any order of the nucleotide bond pairs to form it the way they do. There's no reason for it. And people who know what I'm talking about will understand that. I won't explain it right now. Information is formed by the arrangement of material, not by just randomness. It has to be a concerted effort. Well, you can't have these alien life forms be biologically evolved structures out there in the universe. It just can't happen. So if it's not that they're biologically arrived at through evolution, what else does that leave? Well, it leaves me to believe the spiritual realm. And what you're talking about here, I've read articles, one article in particular, which I never kept. I didn't know I was going to be needing it when I first started studying apologetics. A secular psychologist, a secular psychologist talked to people who were abducted, and he found common denominators. And he found out that some of them were being taught theology by these aliens. And the theology was that Jesus Christ was not divine, but we were.
Yes, it's evolving as part of the New Age philosophy.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And so it's also, it seems to be, that we don't find any Christians ever being abducted. Now, Walter Martin, the late apologist, said that he was doing research, and if I remember correctly, he said only one Christian had been abducted by UFO, and it was when they asked him for permission to take him aboard their ship. They couldn't do it unless he gave permission, and he did. He said he was abducted. Now, whatever. This is the story I remember hearing. Okay, so there's that. Now, back when I was involved in the occult, and I believe that there's an occult connection, I want to interview people who say they've been abducted. I'd love to interview like 50 people if I could, if I can get their information and ask certain questions. But I have a theory that they're involved in the occult. Back in the day when I was involved in the occult, necromancy, astral projection, auras, table tilting, things like that, my buddy and I, we're doing this together. We were out in front of our house, my house, in Southern California. We both, and I can still see it in my mind's eye, the memory, we both watched as a light in the night sky, you know, miles away, slowly was moving. And it was, oh, it's a helicopter with a searchlight, okay? We're watching it because it was moving differently. I don't know how we knew, but just something's just not right with it. And I can still tell you that I saw this. That I saw this light go up, you know, as far as the vertical plane goes, seeing a great distance. It went up, then it went down slowly, and then from the down position towards the horizon, it shot up into the air and crossed over our head, way up high in the sky. I mean, within a second.
A U-turn?
What's that?
Were you describing a sort of a U-turn that it made?
Let's just say that it was over where I was. I was in Buena Park, which is in Orange County, and it was towards Anaheim, which is where Disneyland was. And it's about 20 miles distance between those places, and because I grew up in Buena Park when I was younger. And so I knew the distance. It was way out there. And then it was from way out there to over our head and gone within 1 second. I mean, this is what UFO people say they see. These objects that move at super high speeds, changing directions and just going to a different place. Well, I was involved in the occult when I saw that. So, you know, we got someone in the chat room listening when I'm saying, say, Matt, what you're describing is exactly what my dad said he saw in the, I guess that's Utah Mountains. Yeah. Oh, the Uintah Mountains in Utah. Yeah, okay. Shut up, then down. What mine did, it would move slowly up, like about 5 degrees on the horizon, then slowly down to about 6 degrees, and then shot up. Just went, and it didn't go just vertical and disappear. It moved across above us. And I don't mean like 20 feet. I mean miles up in the air, you know, like a plane was flying. But it went from miles away to over our head within 1 second. So, anyway, I believe these things are demonic. That's my opinion. UFOs are manifestations.
Physical beings are not excluded from the laws of physics. And these things would destroy any kind of, mm-hmm. Not just a life form, but mechanical stuff or whatever with those maneuvers.
Yeah, you know, and there's always a possibility, and we're just going to talk about possible theories or hypotheses, that they could be, now, this is what somebody might say, they're just a human spacecraft from the future. You know, coming back. People would say that. Okay, there's all kinds of theories about what things can be. And that's why they're just observing us and blah, blah, blah. But I think they're demonic.
this guy I was listening to had done some of these interviews of abductees, but he pointed out one simple thing that never occurred to me. Why is it that all these reports, most of them are all different? You'd think if you got a standard working UFO craft, you'd kind of stick with it.
Well, there's the Greys. There's a whole range of aliens called the Greys. There's another, I forgot the other names that they have, but they do find commonalities.
Yeah, but the craft themselves, this guy was pointing out, mm-hmm. and when you get back into the early UFO lore, the Greys didn't come along for a while.
Yeah.
But that was interesting. It just kind of developed.
Yeah, I've seen a picture supposedly from 1900 or 1905 or something like that, or just before the turn of the century, where some people were holding up this creature that they said ship had crashed out of the air, and these guys in the old attire, you could tell it was a real old photograph, and they're holding up this thing, and it looked like a Grey that was all slumped over and burned. They're holding it up by the arms. Who knows? There's a book called Stranger Than Science, which I'm going to read again. I read about once every 10 years. It's a fascinating book, Stranger Than Science. And it has an account of a UFO in there.
Would that be Frank Edwards?
I don't know. I don't remember the author. But it was a great book. Just, I don't know what you believe or not in it, but it was just, it's entertaining. So I like to read it every now and then. That and biographies on Nikola Tesla. He's fascinating, that guy. So I read a lot of different things. I'm really out there in a lot of stuff.
That's good for you.
Yeah, mostly, I think. At any rate, so I just think they're demonic, but I would need a lot more evidence to write about it and stuff like that. I just wish I had someone who could just get me in contact with near-death experience people, with UFO abductees. I'd love to be able to do research. There's a series on TV now, speaking of the NDEs, the people who've died, what's happened to them. And I'm really studying them. I'm watching them. We're recording them on my TV, and I go watch them once a week. People who've died, and the different stories that they're having. And all the stories so far, they do three at a time. I think I've seen five of these. So that's 15 accounts. The only one I recall is only one person said he had a bad experience where he saw a demon that was after him. And he came back in the operating table, whatever it was. But all the rest of them, they're all good. They're all positive. There's a loving light. And they all say that they don't have any fear of dying. And I'm listening. I'm listening. I'm watching. I want to know what they say. I'd love to interview them. I want to know how many people have become Christians because of this and how many have not. Because it's one I watched just a couple of nights ago. This lady said that she was taught in this other realm about reincarnation, that people are going to reincarnate because they don't learn the right lessons. Well, obviously, this is a demonic occurrence then. And if they really are dead, if they really are, the spirit has gone on. You know, it's not just an oxygen deprivation thing in the brain, which can't rule that out. But there seems to be a great deception. And the devil is great at deceiving people, which is what he did from the very beginning. He's a father of lies. God is truth, the devil is lies. And he used lies and deceit to get Eve to fall and to disobey God. Well, what's interesting is that as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. They were eating and drinking, marrying, giving in marriage. Around that time, the Nephilim were involved. And the early church fathers always interpreted that, as did all the early commentators, that the Nephilim were the result of angelic beings having relations with human women and producing offspring, which was an attempt to circumvent or to destroy the messianic line. That the flood came and destroyed these evil people. The ones who were taken were the evil. A lot of people think that, you know, the ones who are taken, two men in the field, one is taken, one is left, are the good. It has nothing to do with the good. Just read the context, folks, you'll see. But it's the wicked who were taken. So if that's the case, I think Chuck Missler holds this position too, but if that's the case, that it'll be like towards the end times as it was then, if it is true that these were demonic manifestations that were able to manifest themselves in various ways, even to the point of impregnating women, then why can't they also manifest physical forms in the form of what we'd call UFOs, alien creatures, in order to propagate a great deception? Because it would be great if, I mean great as not as in good, but let me rephrase that. It'd be very easy for a bunch of people to be very easily deceived by the arrival of a UFO. That was to say something like, yeah, all the religions, they're just us in the past having done various things. And we've got this one person we want you to represent, or will represent us on Earth. Trust him. We'll rebuild the Roman Empire and, you know, rebuild Jerusalem Temple, blah, blah, blah. So I wouldn't be surprised if the demonic manifestations occur again. And I do believe they're manifesting. And I also am getting more and more convinced that within the Christian church, there's a demonic work. Because we have these mamby-pamby crap theology teachers out there who are teaching all kinds of false things, like God died to sanctify our ego trip, which is what Robert Schuller said, or that we're supposed to be healthy and wealthy. It's about the me gospel. Get it to me. Give it to me. Give it to me. It's a self-centered stuff, not outward-centered, bringing glory to God. It's the other thing, which is give me what I want, and God's price on the cross brought me health and wealth and prosperity. And so people are being led down the abyss into deception by these false teachers who are saying this kind of stuff. And they're saying other things that are very heretical. But this is happening inside the Christian church, and Christians, because they aren't trained, because they don't know, because the pastors and elders aren't saying anything that's right, are having a problem. In fact, I'm just rambling here, got interconnected things. Someone sent me a link yesterday, and I glanced at it, from Barna Research, which is a very excellent research group. And they said something like, what, only 40% of the pastors even hold a Christian worldview. So there is and I think it was 14% of women pastors do, which I need that information to verify further research that women pastors and elders is dangerous. But anyway, another topic. So there's an apostasy going on in the Christian church, and I suspect that spiritually speaking, that because the Christian church is not doing the prayer that it needs to, is not guarding the world in the sense and the way that it needs to, that the demonic forces will gain power and influence because the Christian church is not doing what it needs to do, and that God will send a deluding influence, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. That will allow the great deception to come on the earth, which will bring people to the arrival of the Antichrist, the Battle of Armageddon, and the attempted destruction of God's people. So I think this is going on. This is just my opinion. This is what I believe. And I see it in the Christian church. I see the great deception. And when I try and talk to Christians about what the truth is, a great many of them want nothing to do with the God of the Bible. They want the God of the blab it and grab it, give it to me, I want it now. You know, so you get manifestations of titles of books like Your Best Life Now, you know, the I want now, what's good for me now, instead of the patient wisdom of waiting and subjecting ourselves to the will, authority, desire, and heart of God. And Jesus never said, your best life now, never. He said, pick up your cross and follow me. The nature of truth in the preparation, presentation of the gospel is not an easy one. We are told as Christians to go out into the world, and we are told by Christ we'll be persecuted, we'll be hated, we'll be destroyed, we'll be murdered for the sake of the gospel. And he did say in Luke 22:36, pick up a sword and follow me. And, you know, he didn't say pick up a sword and follow me. He said pick up a sword. He's talking to the disciples because they're going to need self-defense. That's what he says in Luke 22:36. But he did say pick up your cross and follow me. And he was killed. But the gospel that's being preached today from most churches, well, I can say most churches, from a lot of churches, but these big mega churches, is the mamby-pamby crap theology of God has the best life for you now. He loves you so much. He wants everything good for you. And everything's going to be great. Now, if you go to Exodus, Genesis 40 and Genesis 41, you'll see that Joseph, you know, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and had Joseph. And Joseph was given a dream by God. The dream he told to his brothers, it caused his brothers to hate him, which eventually meant he was ambushed, tied up. They're going to kill him. And the younger brother Benjamin said, no, don't do that. And so they sold him to the Midianites, who took him and sold him into slavery. And he went into Potiphar's house in Egypt. Now, if it hadn't been for God giving him that dream, this wouldn't have happened. And in Potiphar's house, he was accused of attempting to rape his Potiphar's wife. He got put in jail and left in jail for 2 years, at the very least, 2 years more. I don't know how long he was in totally, but he was in for at least 2 years, and over something nothing he had done wrong, but everything he had done right. And so, you know, people would be saying, well, where's God's will in this? Well, God's will is that he be sold into slavery after he was abducted and ambushed by his brothers and sold into slavery and put into a prison. This is all God's will for him. As he says, I think in Genesis, oh, I forgot exactly where, 50, 20, something like that, 30, 50, I can't remember, chapter 50, I think. He says to his brothers, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And so he's talking about how God's hand was in it. Well, the theology of comfort, the lounge chair theology that's being preached from the pulpits today is deadening the Christians to the truth and severity, the necessity of preaching the gospel, and what it means to live by faith and to trust and to stand up for strength. And I believe that the reason that the Antichrist is going to come is because the Christians aren't doing their job. And that the reason that America is going downhill is because the Christians aren't doing their job. And the reason the Christians aren't doing their job is because men aren't doing their job. They're not standing up and being men. They don't have a set. They don't get up. They don't man up. And they don't step up. And they're being mamby-pamby all over the place, not trusting what the Word of God says, not standing up and taking risks and failing in the attempt of trying to be men, letting women take their position as they abdicate their own leadership position, responsibilities in the church. And so we have women pastors and elders. We have men who basically are theologically and spiritually castrated, who don't know what the left from the right is doing or what direction to go, what to do, and they're having all kinds of problems. And so the Christian church is weak, I believe, my opinion, because men aren't doing their job. So let me go back full circle. I know you like to let me rant, but here we go. Because men aren't doing their jobs in the families, and because men aren't doing their jobs in the churches, we have women now who are stepping up. Women are great. It's not the woman's fault. It's man's fault. Men are responsible. Women can be guilty, but men are responsible. And so when men sit down, the women step up and do the job that the men are supposed to do, because the men like being babied. Well, they stop being babied, start standing up. They start being leaders of their family. They start being leaders in their church and politely and lovingly put women in their place. Woman, it's not your place to be a pastor and a teacher. Sorry. That's what God has said. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. Titus chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. That's it. 1 Timothy 5:17. Go to 1 Timothy 3:15 for verification of this stuff. That's what it says. And so women are supposed to be in their place. Their place is that they're supposed to help their husbands in the ministry that God has called them to do. Their place is not to teach or exercise authority over men in the church. That's it. Men's place is to be the federal head, the leaders in their homes, whether they're good at it or not, that's their job, and to be the leaders in the church and start to, once they've got their house in order, once they've got the church in order, to set their eyes out to the world and start converting the world. And men should be the ones who are supporting other men who go door to door and do evangelism. Men should be doing this. And men should be up in churches and saying to women pastors and elders, no, get down. Not your place. You call them chauvinists? Be chauvinist. Who cares? Not your place. But what I'm teaching and what I'm preaching is not popular. People don't want to hear what I have to teach and preach because they like lounge chair theology. That's what they want. And they want to be breastfed, coddled, have their diapers changed for them, bring me a microwave oven dinner so that I can watch the sports, and that's what I'll do for my happiness.
And tune in the Reverend Dr. Feelgood.
You're at Dr. Feelgood with his helper, E.R. Tickler.
Yeah.
That's right. Dr. Feelgood, E.R. Tickler for the book of Deuteronomy. Okay, so you always do that to me.
Yeah, that's why I don't call so often.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
There's one thing I forgot to mention from an atheist. I was leaving comments, and I said that he committed a genetic fallacy. And he says, genetics is a subfield of biology, which is a field of science. How did I commit this fallacy? And I said, look it up. And then he goes into just, I don't know anything about science stuff. it's amazing at how they get so full of bravado.
Yep, and full of other stuff, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, by the way, I got a question that's divisive for over 20 years. Kirk or Picard?
Kirk. Kirk. And the reason is, because he set the standard of how a starship captain is supposed to be. You get alien women, and you get in fisticuffs. That's how it's supposed to be. Everybody knows that. And Picard, he pretty much did it, but not as well. So if you don't get alien women and get in fisticuffs with aliens and kick their whatever organs they've got, then you're not really worthy of being a Star Trek captain. Sorry, that's just how it is. All right?
Okay, that was a shorter rant than I thought.
That's it. Okay, buddy.
Okay.
All right, we'll see you.
Thanks, and God bless.
All right, God bless. That's right, I know about Star Trek. That's right. That's how you know, because good Star Trek captains are supposed to mainly be men who get in fisticuffs with aliens and get alien babes. That's how it works. Even if they're green, as long as they're babes. That's what Captain Kirk did. Okay, let's get to, well, I'll get the phone number out. 877-207-2276. And let's get to, oh, wait a second. If you want to get in via Skype, just type in carm.org, carm.org. Okay, now, ready for Lexi. Hey, Lexi, how you doing?
Hi, Matt. Hi.
Where are you calling from?
I'm from London.
You're in London, okay.
Yeah. I got a question about speaking in tongues.
You don't have a British accent. What's your accent?
Sorry?
What's your accent? It isn't British.
Russian.
You're Russian. Oh,
yes.
Okay. Okay. So what do you got? What's up?
Oh, I'm wondering just, I'm attending Pentecostal church. It's very conservative. It's not like charismatic Pentecostal or any Assemblies of God. So they kind of preach that who's got holy baptism of the Spirit, mm-hmm. and you got to speak in tongues. So is it kind of biblical teaching or not?
Tongues? Now, there's different views on this, and I'm going to give you my opinion, and I think I can back it up from Scripture, that the charismatic gifts are still for today. 1 Corinthians 1:7, 1 Corinthians 13:8 through 12, I can go through all that, but I believe they're still around. But the great majority of what I've seen is misused as improper. There's a lot of fake stuff out there. People are misusing gifts, and I think they're faking themselves out and others too. But at any rate, baptism of the Spirit is manifested often by speaking in tongues, but not always. Now, there are people who will take a task with me on that. They'll say, well, no, Matt, whenever you see baptism of the Spirit occurring in the book of Acts, everyone was speaking in tongues. Well, that may be the case, but it may also be that it's not the case, because when the apostles were there and the Holy Spirit was moving down on power, everybody was speaking in tongues, at least in Acts chapter 2. But we have in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and 14 and Romans 12, we have Paul the apostle talking about how not all speak with tongues, and he differentiates between different people having different charismatic gifts. Not all speak in tongues, not all have word of wisdom, not all have a word of knowledge, not all are teachers, etc., etc. So if baptism of the Holy Spirit necessitates that we must speak in tongues, then we would have to say that when Paul is talking about those who don't speak in tongues, because some have this gift and some have that gift, then we would have to say that the people who are having words of knowledge and some who are apostles and teachers and preachers are not baptized in the Holy Spirit, because they're not manifesting that gift of being speaking in tongues. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, but I think, yes, but the problem is it language of the nations, or is it angelic language?
Yes.
Or is it both?
Yes. In 1 Corinthians 13:1, Paul says, if I speak with the tongues of angels but I don't have love, then I'm a sounding cymbal. So there are angelic languages. Now, there are also earthly languages. So I don't speak Russian. I think I know dasvidanya, and that's about it. And which, you know, I think I know what it means, like see you later or something like that, goodbye. And nyet, I think, means no, and I think it's about all. At any rate, so if I were to start suddenly speaking in Russian and you heard me, that would be a type of tongues. But it generally, normally happens in an evangelistic context. That's what happens.
But it seems to me it is like a repetition of the few words. Like learned or
repetition,
repetition. Yes.
Yeah. Well, I've been in churches.
Strange words. Very strange.
Right. I'm with you. I've been in churches where they'll say the same thing over and over and over again.
Yeah.
It's like, excuse me? Now, is repetition unbiblical? No, it's not. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The angels will be singing that forever. Well, okay, so repetition's not unbiblical. But how do you verify that these tongues are legit? You have someone coming up and just blabbing.
Yeah.
Well, I was just doing a little bit of research on a new woman preacher, Heidi something. I don't know who it was. And I forgot who. I go, who's this? I did a little research, listened to a video. Right from the beginning, she's going, hey, blah, 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 in front of the congregation. And I'm like, what the heck? And then she goes on in middle, 3 minutes into it, she goes, hush, I'm like, what? And then she keeps talking in English. Like, what are you doing? It's like, it's so stupid. Because it's not biblical to do that. The Bible says if you could do this in public, do it with interpretation in a church context. Otherwise, shut up. But they, they're up there doing this, and people who don't know what's going on, oh, look, the Spirit's on them. They're speaking in tongues. Oh, give me a break. It just drives me crazy. Gullible people believing stuff from people who don't know what they're doing. If it's so from God, why is it these people are misusing it and not doing it according to Scripture? Because they're not submitting themselves to Scripture. Sorry, I'm getting into a rant. I've got to back up. So anyway, It could be that tongues are angelic languages, but I believe that those would be mainly for your prayer life. And if you're out and evangelizing, say you and I were evangelizing someplace, I don't have any problem with the idea of one of us starting to speak a language we don't know to someone for the purpose of evangelism. I have no problem with that. I believe God can certainly do that. And we wouldn't know what we said.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much.
So that's it. I mean, that's what I think. Sound good?
Yeah. Thank you.
So I got a question for you. Why is it that your accent in English is American and not British if you live in London?
I don't know.
It sounds more American. Oh, that's because we speak right the proper way, and then they don't.
No, it's not true.
Okay. Well, then why do they, when they sing, they sing like we do? Forget it. I'm just joking around. All right, buddy. Okay.
Nice talking to you.
Okay, man. Let's be done, yeah.
Bye.
Okay, see ya. Well, that was Alexi from London. Man, that's really interesting. We're getting more callers from London now. We had two from England yesterday. And right now, we've got no callers waiting. So if anybody wants to call, 877-207-2276. I got this thing in the mail today. And I'm just reading the chat room. I got some mail, and it was about radio. And so I ended up calling this guy, talk about some radio stuff. And we just got talking about other stuff. I was really pleasantly surprised. Because I told the guy, I'm looking about radio other places and things like this. Whatever. We don't have the money and the means, but I'm just curious. And I said, I'm different. I said, I don't pull punches, and I say it like it is. I said, for example, I'll say things like Roman Catholicism is apostate. It's not Christian. Women pastors and elders are unbiblical. Homosexuality is a sin. Things like this. And he said, hey, I have no problem with that. I'm like, whoa. I was testing this guy out to see. And, it sounded pretty good. So we just got talking. That opened the door. And so we're talking there. And he was saying the same thing I'm saying, that there's an apostasy occurring in the church. It was really nice to meet somebody who has the same mindset, who recognizes there is a problem in the Christian church. I know. Here we go again. Matt's talking negative stuff. Well, I'm sorry if the wheel squeaks, The tension's going that wheel. That's what's happening. We cannot, as Christians, just simply hope that things are going to get better by ignoring everything. We can't do that. We, as Christians, have the responsibility. We start with our families. We go into the church, and we go into society. Can we start with our families? Well, actually, you start with God. See how it works is the vertical, then the horizontal. We're supposed to have ourselves right with God, the vertical. Get ourselves right with God. Repent, confess, pray, CPR, confess, pray, and read. Okay, CPR, confess, pray, and read. Keep you spiritually alive. And you're supposed to be doing this, get things right. And if you're a husband, get yourself right with your family and start leading them in devotions on a regular basis and praying for your family and things like that. And if you're a Christian wife, your husband should be doing this and you should be joining him in it and sitting at the dinner table, whatever, wherever you guys do it, and symbolically submitting yourself to the authority and headship of your husband in the home as he does his submission to the Word of God, and that your children need to see this kind of a thing. And in the church, the same kind of a thing needs to happen. The pastors, the men are supposed to be the elders, not the women. Sorry, but you don't like it, call me up and we'll argue about it. We'll go to the Word of God and see what it says. Okay? And they're not supposed to be in that position of authority. That's what the Bible says. So get that right. You know, and as Christians start doing that, and they start realizing, okay, we've taken the log out of our own eye as much as we can. Now let's start looking outward. Because we've got to get ourselves right. The judgment begins in the household of God, 1 Peter 4:7 says. We have got to make sure that we get things right. It starts with, you know, with me and God. And then me and my wife. And then me and my children. And me and work, whatever it might be. Me and church. And in the process, as we're getting ourselves right with God, what we're supposed to be doing is praying. Praying. Now, you know, a lot of you out there might be thinking, well, Matt, you know, I don't have the gifts, you know, to do radio or memorize scripture. I'm working and doing all my things and can't get out there and evangelize like some people can and whatever. That's fine. Hey, no problem. You're not called to do this. That's not an issue. But you can pray. Maybe you don't have faith that prayer works. Jesus says, be it done according to your faith. You know, be it done according to your faith. You ever tried faithing? I call it faithing. You ever tried that? You ever tried just faithing? Faithing, which is what I call, is when you have a situation or a circumstance of whatever it is, a little bit difficult, and what you do is you purposely trust God. You quiet your heart as much as you can. You say, I don't know how it's going to be solved, but I'm going to rest in you. Now, it may not be that easy to do, but you're going through the effort. You're going through the act of trusting in him. You're having faith. You're faithing. That's what I call it. Faithing in him. And just leaning on him beyond your ability to understand. Just trusting him. That's what I call it. I've done it many, many, many times. And boy, I'll tell you, the Lord, he's good. Doesn't mean he always answers the way I expect or what I want. But the idea is having faith. You see, faith is only as good as who you put it in. If you had put your faith in me, you'd be in trouble. You put your faith in the God of Mormonism, you're in trouble. The God of Jehovah's Witnesses, you're in trouble. But you put your faith in the God of the Bible, the real God, the only true and living God, and you trust in his goodness. When you pray, you have the ability to approach the throne of God through the person of Jesus Christ. You have that ability to go to the very throne of the King, creator of the entire universe, and talk to him and ask for his influence. You could pray for the persecuted church in Asia. Will you see great results? It's not why you're praying. You're praying by faith as you're faithing to the Lord. You could be praying for your neighbor. You could be praying for family members and their salvation. Does it mean it's just going to happen right there? Doesn't mean it will. Doesn't mean it won't. But the issue is trust before God. See, in our instant microwavable culture, we think prayer is supposed to work the same way. Well, God, I prayed for 5 seconds yesterday. How come it didn't work? Well, what you're doing is trying to use sorcery to get what you want. You know what sorcery is? Sorcery is if I pray this prayer, I get what I want. In other words, if I do the incantation, I get a spiritual result. Oh, wait a minute. We're talking to the Lord. Lord, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me. Jesus' prayer was not answered, was it? Jesus had to go through it. Jesus, God in flesh, second person of the Trinity. We have to pray faithfully and ask that God's will be done, not our own. And we pray for the deliverance of others from damnation. We pray for people to do things. We pray for our pastors and our elders. We pray that things will be accomplished. You have the ability as a Christian, if you're a real Christian, to influence a great many things. You should be going out in your neighborhood, walking around the block, maybe not in the cold of winter, but, you know, she'd be walking around those blocks praying. I've been thinking about this, and when it gets warmer in my area, I'm going to be doing this coming months. I used to walk 2 miles a day, you know, just go out and walk. And what I want to do is start walking and praying. And I've done this before, but I mean specifically walk around the small block that my house is on, praying for the houses on that block, praying for the binding of the demonic forces, et cetera, et cetera. You have that ability. You can do that. You can pray. And we can pray as Christians together to influence the entire world. Instead of getting books, My Best Life Now, you know, and all this other kind of crap stuff that's me-centered, self-centered, what I want. So get down on your knees and say, Lord, what do you want? Lord, send me where you want me to go. Maybe where he wants you to go is like Joseph, who was in prison for 2 years to be used. Wait a minute, I don't want that. Well, then don't ask God for his will. If you're not willing to count the cost, don't ask for it. I've done it. Oh, the cost can sometimes be quite high. It takes years to manifest. But that's what God does. He preps us. He prepares us. But so many people, microwave theology, I want it now. Take the wrapper off, nuke it for 20 seconds. Where's my answer, God? You don't get the answer. That didn't work. I'll try something else. Hey, I know. Where's that preacher that says what I like about how good I'm supposed to be, how great I'm supposed to have things, how much money I'm supposed to have in my bank? Yeah, that's what I want to hear. No wonder the church is floundering and failing in this world, because we're so self-centered, not other-centered, not emulating Christ, but emulating me first gospel teachers and preachers on TV who, to the shame of Christianity, prosper. Because Christians in their foolishness send money into these charlatans. And then they get millions and millions and millions of dollars to keep themselves on the air and start saying, you need to put your money in the seed faith and we'll send you a handkerchief to wipe my brow with. And, you know, all the rest of the crap that goes along with that. Look, we have the ability as Christians to be greatly influencing this world. And we, as Christians, need to first get ourselves right with God and get ourselves right with our families. Be praying for our church and then start praying for the world. The enemy would hate that. The enemy would hate it. God has chosen to work through us in the world. He became one of us. That's what he chose to do. We're made in his image. We have responsibilities in his image. Not to be healthy and wealthy, but to be faithful and humble as we seek to accomplish his will. I'd recommend get on your knees with the word, open it, pray, and let yourself go and ask God to be the Lord of your life in every area, and that whatever he would desire of you is what you would want to do. That's what you're supposed to be doing. And not the stuff that's coming down the pike from TV and too many radio and books and things like this. With the abdication of the gospel and the authority of the male in the Christian church is occurring too much. Bad news. Bad news. Anyway, we've got about 5 minutes left in the show. Did that call for me? No? You don't know? Don't know? Okay. All right. Got a call going there. I could rant a little bit more, I guess. Hold on. I'm going to drink a water. All right, we've got no callers coming in. 877-207-2276. And I'll not be in the studio here Friday because I'm just taking the day off. And I got to preach this Sunday. And so I need a little prep time for that. And Monday, we're not going to be in the studio. They're just kind of closed down. And we'll have a rerun on. So just bear with us on that. And we'll be back in the studio Tuesday, I believe. Well, we'll see what happens. I don't know what they're going to be doing here. Might take a few days off. Might take the rest of the year off. I don't know, for vacation time. I heard that concept. I looked it up. Vacation. It's synonymous with the word rest, you know. I work so much. I could use your prayers. I could use your prayers on that, too, on what to write about, what to do, and stuff like that. Because I'm telling you know, I love it. Being able to do what I do, being able to preach and teach the Word of God, and by His grace, God's grace, be able to inform people, which I hope would be the stuff that is good stuff. Anyway, So the number again, 877-207-2276. Let's get to Bill from Georgia. Hey, Bill, welcome to the show.
Hey, Mac.
Hey.
This is the first time I tried Skype, and I was trying to log in. I thought you were still. Let me hang up this phone.
Okay.
Mac, can you hear me?
I can hear you. All right.
All right. This is the first time I tried Skype, and okay. I thought maybe you'd show your show, but I understand you're not doing video anymore. I'm a podcast listener. I'm from Albany, Georgia.
Okay.
And I just want to thank you for what you're doing.
Wow. Wow. That's a second call I've gotten today. Someone just saying thanks. I appreciate that.
Well, you don't know how many people that you're reaching, and a lot of people don't call in. I know. And you're great. It's, I appreciate how God has equipped you in your service to Him.
Well,
you got me in a lot of trouble.
I like the sound of that. So tell me, I'm liking that. So what kind of trouble have I gotten you into?
Well, whenever I share what the scripture actually says with church members and they don't like it, I guess that could be the easiest way to sum it up.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And I guess I was Arminian before I came across your site about 4 years ago.
Okay.
And it really affected me, and I believe.
Yeah, hey, someone else said that.
You cannot deny scripture.
You can't, I know. Romans 9 really upset me when I first read it. Like, what the heck?
I know. And I share that with other people, and I talk to them about predestination, and they just still can't buy into it. And I'll use your analogy of, does God have free will? I mm-hmm. listened to that podcast not too long ago. And he said, well, can he sin? And the answer is no, he can't sin. Well, then, you know, the natural man, he has free will, but he can't accept God unless God chooses him.
That's right. Romans 6:44.
That's the way I like it.
That's what it is, and people don't want to hear that because that's not
right.
The image of God they've been taught. They want the God that's
right.
Blonde hair, blue-eyed Caucasian surfer Jesus wearing a woman's nightgown. Yep.
It's like you talk about all the people's presuppositions and what they've been taught and what they hear, what the grandmama told them. They just formed a belief and they just can't accept anything.
That's right.
I'm working on them though.
Keep working. You got to pray and use that word.
I do pray for them.
Good. That's what you got to do. If only people were as smart as us, right?
No, everybody's smarter than me, man. I depend on the Lord on everything.
Well, good for you.
He's taken me places in the last.
Hey, buddy.
7 years, I guess, that I thought I would never go.
Hey, 10 years. The music's going. I got to go, Bill. Hey, man, thank you for the kind words. I really appreciate it. Okay?
Thank you, Matt. Appreciate it, bud.
Okay, thanks. God bless. Hey, Bill. Hey, everybody. That's the end of the show. The music's going. I got to go. And by His grace, back in the studio tomorrow. We'll see ya. God bless. Bye.
This has been Faith and Reason with Matt Slick. For more, go to carm.org. That's carm.org.